Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Thank you for joining us today on our show, and I just hope that you just take this time with the Father and you just spend time in His presence. It's going to be all music today, so I just want to welcome you in and say, please come, still your mind and your heart and your soul, and open up to the Father and enjoy the music, and I will talk to you after the show.
Still be for my feelings. God's only Son, perfect and spotless, oh. He never sinned, but suffered as if He did.
I was afraid and insecure, but God helped me overcome.
I was complacent, but God helped me overcome.
I was empty and wanting purpose, but God helped me overcome.
I was a follower, but God helped me overcome.
I was dependent on myself, but God helped me overcome.
I was trying to identify myself through the ways of the world, but God helped me overcome that.
I was self-centered, but God helped me overcome.
I was anxious and overwhelmed.
I was angry and confused.
I had a fear of failure.
I was lustful.
I was average and conformed.
I had no one that I could trust.
I wasn't bold in my walk with Christ, but God helped me overcome.
But God helped me overcome.
I was insecure, but God helped me to overcome.
But God helped me overcome.
But God helped me overcome.
I was fearful of God's call in my life, but He helped me overcome.
I was depressed.
I was a shy little girl who was afraid to talk about my faith in Christ.
I was consumed with pain.
I was afraid of rejection, but God helped me.
Lord, we just thank you so much that we can overcome anything that we face in this life that we live, in this journey that we're on. And we just lift our hearts to you and our minds to you, and we just give you praise and glory that you are our Savior and that we have a Father to look to guide and direct and just help us through anything that we face in this challenging time. And I just pray for the hearts of the listeners, Lord, that they would just be open to you, that the words of the songs would minister to their hearts in any area that they need, Lord, and that they would just be filled with your Spirit, and that they would just be blessed beyond measure today, Father. We just thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you for your Son and give you this day and every day, Lord, and the rest of our lives, and we just lift them up to you and hope that we can walk in honor and glory and praise and let your light shine through us. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. I just want to say thank you for tuning in this morning. I hope that the music ministered to you. I hope that your heart is open and ready to receive the words and the teachings coming your way on Church Reboot. I just want to say thank you real fast to our sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited, B&B Builders and Remodeling, Spa Gems, Dove Nutrition, Balboa Island Jewelers, Katie Custom Natural Charms, and Lady Golf. It is so wonderful and amazing to see these sponsors support us and back us week after week to bring this message to you. We thank you so much for listening. Find us on Facebook. Find us in the archives at blogtalkradio.com and tune in and listen and share it and tell it with all your friends. Have a great day.
Souls. Sister Radio.
Hey, sheeple. This is Jimmy James, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Sunday. Our host, Maria Magdalena, redefined what fellowship is in 2012. So, if you've been hanging out in those dens of iniquity, Jesus is in the house, waiting to reboot your definition of church and uplift your spirit on Soul Sister Sunday.
Welcome to Soul Sister Radio, and this is Maria DiGiovanni and Magdalena Gomez, and we also have the beautiful Miss Rebecca Lawler on the East Coast. How are you, beautiful?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you. Doing great. How's everyone this morning?
Everyone is doing good. We also have our content producer actually in the studio with us this morning. So, Dean, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. Good morning, everybody.
Okay. And Magdalena is also here, and we have a lot going on. But I know that you have a lot going on. It's Labor Day weekend, and I don't think there's any coincidences in life that we are in the ninth month of the 2012, the year of the dragon, and we are birthing, and it's Labor Day weekend. How do you feel about that, Rebecca?
Excited. Great. It's great here on the East Coast and lots to celebrate. And it's great to be on the show this morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. How is the hotel going this weekend? Because it's a big holiday weekend for you.
Yeah, it is. It's going great. Going great in Virginia Beach this weekend. A lot of fun things are happening. A big marathon. I just finished up. I didn't race in it, but just finished up a little while ago, half rock and roll marathon, and a lot of different charities and organizations represented out there. So go Virginia Beach, and let's see, a lot of bands, and it's the rock and roll marathon, so a lot of band Train is actually here, one of our songs that we play every Sunday, so it's great to be here. It's beautiful.
Well, you have a really good time for all of us, and we're going to get started with the show, because today we're going to be actually talking about something that I need to learn a lot about, and that is what a prophetess is, what she is not, and an example of one of these souls, and her name is Deborah. But before we start, we're going to have the beautiful Magdalena open us up in prayer, because as we all know, there isn't anybody that does it better than her. So here we go, Magdalena.
Good morning, everyone. And we just want to come together right now and really come in humility before you, Father God, and just want to thank you for this amazing morning and how you have brought us together and how we can just, you know, from our homes, be able to produce this show, Father, to honor you. And we really just want to pray for those who are listening who have made the effort to get up early and just have a little breakfast with you, Father, that we can provide scripture, Father, that will nourish the soul, that will really teach us what it is to be your leaders, especially a woman, Father, in your kingdom, Father, and how you use Deborah in leadership, Father, and you give her the wisdom of a prophetess and a very insightful woman, Father, so that we can teach others just to have that form of leadership. We thank you so much for the leadership that you have given us. Thank you so much for your word that builds us up, Father. It is our daily bread, and that this daily bread may really nourish the hearts and souls that are listening, whether live or later on, God. And we just want to thank you so much for our sponsors. Thank you so much for Rebecca Lawler. Thank you so much for her amazing heart that really touches us every week. Thank you so much for B&B Builders. Thank you so much, Spa Gem. Thank you so much, Bubble Island Jewelers. Thank you so much for Katie. We love your designs, and you are very, very blessed. And thank you for all the blessings of our guardians. And we just pray for we want to send a special prayer to our brother Joe Acaba. We were just at Disneyland, and Space Mountain reminded us of our special astronaut in space. We want to pray for his family, and we know that he will be landing soon. So we pray for a special landing to bring him home safe to his family. We pray for Susan Milano Murphy, Father. Please give her the blessings and the healing to overcome her cancer. We want to pray for Helen as she is overcoming and going through her chemo treatments. Please be with her, sending her so much love. And also for Auntie Helen as well, Father, that she's going through the same thing. Please bring her blessing. And please bring blessings to those who are listening, God, and that today will be an awesome day as we surrender our lives to you and you guide us, Father God. We love you so very much. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And like I said, nobody does it quite like she does. Right, Rebecca?
That's right. That's right. It's a blessing. That's a special gift to be able to do that.
I know. Prayer warriors. I love them around us. And
yeah.
Right now, the more prayer warriors we have around us, the better. And if you remember correctly, being in labor with Claire, it's an interesting situation to be in as a woman, as a man watching. Labor can be very labor intense, and as we know, what I'm going to ask you an off the cuff question, because we are in Labor Day and we are 15 days, actually less than that, 13 days until we launch this beautiful heart for Danielle in Texas, in Austin, Texas, and we are birthing this dream. So, Rebecca, how do you feel about being in labor, and what do you remember about labor as we get ready to head into Labor Day and into birthing your dream?
I'm really excited. I'm honored that we're doing this. I'm really thrilled to be working with that heart for Danielle. What a beautiful young woman she was, and to keep her life continuing here to help, you know, change other children and women and people that deal with that. So it's a blessing and a true. I'm very excited about doing that. And Claire, what do I remember about labor pains? Oh my gosh. I remember it hurting so bad that I said, okay, this is it. Let's order the epidural. Can't do this anymore. So I was very grateful for that epidural. After about 7 or 8 hours into labor, I was like, okay, that's it. So, but then the joy and the blessing of what came was just amazing. So, yeah. So that oftentimes happens, you know. You have to face, I think we shared this last week, and sometimes you have to face a lot of adversity before you can really, you know, receive the rewards of all your hard work and all your labor.
Exactly. And like I said, I think timing is perfect. Just 2 days ago, we had the anniversary of What Birthed a Heart For campaign, and that was our little Grace. And it's been a year, and it's an incredible experience to watch it all be birthed and the timing of it all. And so I'm just really, really excited. And the reason why we're bringing up the topic of a prophetess is it's actually something my brother said the other day as we were talking about this. And he said, you guys are just like this woman. And this woman, and her name is Deborah, and this is the person that we're going to be speaking about. And I truly believe, and I've never really thought of myself as being this word, okay, and as the baby Christian here, I want to learn all about what it is to be a prophetess or not, because I always took it in a negative connotation, and I'm not sure why, but I don't know, to be a prophetess, it was like, gosh, that's kind of medieval or something. But before we start, I do want to take a quick station identification to also listen to our amazing sponsor. So before we start on Deborah, I would love everybody to open up their Bible to Judges 4. We're going to read 4 and 5 is what we're going to be reading out of today. So let's take a station identification, and we will be right back.
Soul Sister Radio. Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
I'm really excited, Rebecca, because I think our new campaign, A Heart for Israel, is truly going to bring this lesson full circle. Because you and I have heard, you know, from God for a long time to really reach the seven continents of Revelations 1:11. And can you read Revelations 1:11? I'm going to have her, Magdalena, read it real quick. Because you and I have heard for a long time, Revelations 1:11, wow. And I'm not sure if it starts on the Alpha and the Omega in that one. If not,
No, I think it's a different.
I'm gonna pull it up here. But it's going to bring us full circle, and it's kind of crazy because we've listened to this for a long time, you and I, Rebecca, and I really believe this is what we're going to learn about as far as being a prophetess today. So, Magdalena.
Yes, Revelations 1:11, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Write promptly what you see, which is your vision, in a book, and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus and Smyrna, to Pergamum.
And it tells seven. Yes. It goes on to seven.
Yes.
My little heart, my little brain, I kind of equate that to the seven continents. And I really believe that God has told us to take our message, to take what it is that we're doing, to take the heart. God told you to create this heart and change the world with it, did he not?
He did. He really did, yes. And wanted us to really make a difference in our lives. You know, first of all, so much with, you know, children who were abused, and to help, you know, bring education and awareness to that cause. And then we were, you know, have been blessed over the last, with all the other campaigns we're doing, which I think are helping other charities now. So it's highly.
We're doing exactly Revelations 1:11, and Soul Sister Radio really gives us that platform to be able to, you know, share this with everybody. And God bless all of our listeners on the archives. You bless us every week. Our numbers this month were crazy ridiculous, and so I just know that we're being blessed. And I want to ask Dean now if he could explain to me, as we go into this lesson on Deborah, why Deborah is important. Because of who or what she was. She was a prophetess. Now, to me, that kind of is kind of weird, okay? Because, again, I always thought of it as being something medieval and cray-cray, okay? So
okay.
Cray-cray, our new word. So kind of explain to our audience what a prophetess is. And why that role is important to us and Deborah.
Well, I'd like to say good morning to everybody. And we can start with just that word that you're talking about. It's just the female equivalent of a prophet. So you don't have to be so scared of it. Just as the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Nehemiah and all the rest of the prophets in the Old Testament, she's just one of them. But by far, Deborah is probably the most powerful woman in the Bible. She's been given authority over men. She's been given authority over armies. She's been given authority over literal countries. So she's extremely important, even more important, in my opinion, than most of the standard females that you hear in the Bible. At the end of the day, she's the only one that is a true physical warrior and a true mental warrior. She's the only judge that's mentioned in the Bible that is a female. So we're talking about an extremely, extremely powerful, powerful woman.
I want Magdalena to read a little bit about Deborah. And I'm going to ask her to just go ahead because she really knows more about this. I know a woman named Deborah, okay? And I know that there was a Deborah in the Bible. And as we continue on this series, Rebecca, we've done Mary Magdalene, correct?
Yes.
The series of women. We've done Mary the Mother, correct?
Mm-hmm. Esther, yeah.
We started on Esther. We touched on Esther. I want to touch a little bit more on her. But
I did too. She's one of.
We've done anybody.
We
go ahead.
A little,
are you there?
Yeah. Esther too is one of my favorites as well. But like Dean said, Deborah really was a warrior.
Okay. Before I have Magdalena read. Share with me what you know about Deborah the prophetess.
Just that she was, you know, a very strong warrior, and she really was a woman, a godly woman who was strong and really, really, you know, helped others, not only women, but other men as well. And like Dean said.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
She's actually one of my favorites, and so is Esther as well, and of course Mary Magdalene was definitely one of my special ones. But you go ahead, Maria.
Go ahead, Magdalena. We're going to go ahead and read.
Yes. Okay. So Deborah, after Ehud died, and he was another like prophet that was before Deborah.
Okay.
The Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them to the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim, because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord for help. So here the Israelites were crying out for help. And who steps up to the plate?
But a woman.
Deborah, a prophetess. The wife of Lapidos was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. It's kind of like Dean and Mission Bielho up in the hill.
Okay.
So it says, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali.
Does it really say Barak?
Like Barak, like our present president of the United States.
Okay.
It's a biblical name. Son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to Kishon River and give him onto your hands. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Could you believe? He's like, I need you, woman. Come with me. And she said, very well, Deborah, I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. So here's Deborah basically prophesizing that, you know, the glory will be given to a woman. And why do you think she says that? Because you got to realize that here's a man who God is commanding to go and take his army, and he's like, well, I'll go if you go.
And finally.
And so it basically is just saying that somehow he was lacking some type of a courage.
And that I'm lost right now. So
No, well, basically with Barak, he didn't have the courage. So he said, only if you go with me. She was his sign of courage.
Why do you think I have never heard this story before? This is what bothers me right now, that I feel like I'm totally lost, that I've never heard this story. And these are stories that I'm so excited that we are going to share, because this is something that I think, why don't we talk about this more? This is so important, and why it's important for us to really pay attention to our politicians and the women that they have around them, and whether or not they can hold, because it truly is the strength of the woman that is behind the man. And somewhere in our world, we have taken that and we've changed it into something that's a negative connotation somehow, or that if we are there, we are strong women that are actually pushing men up higher, that that's a bad thing. And I am really excited that I feel lost right now, and you're sharing this with me, because how old is this story? The Book of Judges. God forgive me, because I've never read the Book of Judges, okay? Because it's all the way in the front of the book. But isn't that sad? Tell me your thought on this, Dean. Tell me, why is it that I don't know about this story, and why do you think it's so important?
Well, what you just said, Maria, is really, really interesting, but because it kind of reflects what's happening right now. We have a president named Barak who really puts a power of authority into Hillary Clinton, and it's just really, really ironic that his name is Barak, and, you know, in reality, the person that wields the power is Hillary. And that's an interesting, just, you know, what's happening right now in present day. But the fact that we haven't heard much of Deborah is just an example of the hypocrisy throughout the ages in all churches. And I'm not here to label any church. It could be the original Catholic Church. It could be the Greek Orthodox Church. It could be mainstream Orange County Christianity, born again Christianity. The fact is that in a typical situation, women aren't talked about enough in the Bible, because we don't want, as men, women to have power and authority over us. So Deborah is that rare exception where God actually puts the power and the authority into a woman to make the decisions, to be the power figure, and even as a military leader, which is extremely, extremely rare, even in today's world, there is probably just a few handful of countries that put women in a military power role that actually has the ability to move armies. And this is an example of Deborah is an example in the Bible anything can happen with God. He even when things are totally impossible, he gives Deborah the ultimate problem to solve, and she actually does it. She leads a counterattack. She pulls off the impossible, and just like in today's world, it all centers around Jerusalem. She fought for Jerusalem against the same armies that right now are attacking Jerusalem, and she came out victorious.
Rebecca?
Yes.
A heart for Israel is something that we're going to be launching, and it's funny, I'm going to go into our first song, and I really didn't know what songs, excuse me, I was going to play this morning. And because things have been kind of a little crazy around us lately, a little bit, as things start to change, as we all start to grow, as we all start to be birthed into these new roles and these new positions that God is birthing us into, you included, me, myself, Magdalena, Dean, Becky on our worship show, Jed, all of us, we're all growing. And one of the things that we are is we are family. So I just want to take a break
listen to this song. And I really want everyone to think about how old this story is, that if God trusted women to be in these major leadership roles way back then, why are we not stepping up now, ladies? It's time that we really get focused on what God is telling us to do, get our big girl panties on, and make it happen. Why? Because we're family. So kick back and just listen to this song, and we'll be right back. Learn about the women of the Bible because we are sisters, and that was the sledge, as my brother here is saying. Make sure that you tell the audience who we're listening to. So I'm excited as we continue to move forward with reading about Deborah. There's also a little trivia that we're going to learn about Deborah. How are you doing over there, Rebecca?
Oh, I'm good. I was just thinking if that song was playing. And I'm going to ask Dean this, and you were, you know, sharing about time for, you know, for us as women to step up to the plate. And I wondered, how old was she? Do you have any idea how old she was when
that's a good question. You know what? That's a good question, and we're going to give that to Dean, and Dean will figure it out. And if he can't figure it out while we're on air, I'm sure
we'll do it next week.
Sure. Actually, he has something to say. Go ahead.
Well, I can't give you the exact age, but I do know, what we do know in history is that she was probably around 35 to 37 years old when she went into battle against Sisera. So that's what we do know. We also know that she was around 75 at the time of her death. So that'll give you a good idea, Rebecca, how old she was. And that's probably normal, you know, when you're put into a position of power in the military, usually officers that are in the battle, let's put it in perspective to, let's say, Saving Private Ryan. The Tom Hanks character is around 35 years old. He is actually commanding men that are anywhere from 18 to about 24. So in typical military fashion, that's about right. She was given the power of authority around 35 years old, which is about the normal age for an officer to do that. So there you go.
Thank you. That's amazing.
So we'll continue reading. So Deborah here, she put on her badge of courage, and she went with Barack, and she said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now Heber and Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zanim, near Kadesh, where they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abiram, had gone up to Mount Tabor. Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to Kishim River. God, I hope I'm saying those words right. But what's really interesting here, you know, 900 chariots, this is like the army tanks of back in the day. So this is what Deborah and Barak, you know, had to face. So when they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abiram, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down to Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and the army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, however, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, because there was friendly relations between the Jabin king of Hazor and the clan of Heber, the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she put a covering over him. He said, "I'm thirsty. Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone here, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him. While he lay fast asleep, exhausted, she drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera and Jael.
Hold on one second.
Yes.
I'm going to interrupt you there.
Yes.
Because, Rebecca, did you just hear that little story?
I did.
Okay.
It was tough.
Is it?
She was her dragon. She took her, wow.
Wow.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And do you know why she did that?
Let's bring Dean on that one.
No, this is the little bit of trivia, the useless information that I want everyone to hear on Soul Sister Radio. Have you ever heard "It was for heaven's sake"?
Yes, I've heard that.
Oh, heaven's sake. Oh, for heaven's sake. Don't you remember your grandma saying that? I remember my Italian Nana saying, "Oh, for heaven's sake." Okay? Right?
Eat your pasta,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. For heaven's sake. And that is the reason why she drilled this peg into this man's temple. It was for heaven's sake. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
So a little bit of useless Bible trivia.
I wouldn't call it useless.
Well, it isn't useless.
It's small, but it's big.
It's big.
I mean, basically, this woman, just like Deborah had basically prophesied or predicted that the glory would fall onto a woman, and be it this way, you know, it's part of God's will, because basically, the 20 years that the Israelites were oppressed under this king, you know, here this woman was able to release those 20 years by basically taking the matter in her hands. But she knew there was a calling that was already prophesied that this was going to be happening. So it says, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went with her, and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead.
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 Like a doorknob.
Yeah, kind of just dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin and the Canaanite king before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him. So, amen. So they were able to basically capture the leader of the army, and then the Israelites grew stronger in number because God blessed them, and they were able to overcome the ruler of the time that had oppressed them for such a long period of time.
And this Deborah is the one who foresaw this happening.
Correct.
Correct.
She was given, you know, the insight. You know, usually back then was in a dream or some kind of fashion that God spoke to them.
Okay. Rebecca?
Yes.
How did God tell you to take this heart, create it, and do this? How did God tell you? Because if we have listeners out there, and again, I didn't know what a prophetess was, and it came to me in a negative thought. Sometimes I feel a little nuts because I hear God all the time talk to me. So how did God come to you and give you this dream, this idea of this heart, and especially the way that it's made?
Well, it started with just a dream to help kids, really, who were abused. And it actually came out of, you know, my walk early on as a child. I, you know, dealt with some of that. So originally it was an obstacle, and it was something that I needed to personally overcome. And then it sort of came in like a vision. I wanted to do the line of handbags, but I wanted something really different that would be a logo at the time. And I sort of knew of a glass blower and loved his work here locally in Virginia Beach. And I thought to myself, and it was kind of like one day I was reading the Bible and I was kind of praying, and I thought, wow, what a great idea to do something different. I knew John, and what about if we did a logo with glass? And the idea of that, too, was, I don't know if many people know this, but to mold glass, it has to get to thousands and thousands of degrees. And so it's kind of like my walk, my journey has been, there's been a lot of wonderful highs, but there have been some, you know, definite times, as you know, on the bathroom floor, crying and saying, you know, why. And so the glass heart really symbolizes my journey, having walked through abuse, being able to overcome that through Christ help and love and learning how much and recognizing how much that he loved me. And then at the very end of the day, either putting in a diamond or, you know, we can do a gemstone or whatever, and taking something that's actually a fluid, molding it into a beautiful heart, and then finishing it off with a gemstone, which I truly believe is sort of like all the things that we all kind of go through. And so that was sort of kind of it. It was kind of like a vision, dream, the walking through the obstacles that I've walked through and trying to turn it around and do something great to help other people and to make a difference.
Well, we are doing that. And it's amazing how God has instill these things in my heart. I know that Magdalena feels the same way and is passionate and as strong as you are, as I am, in making sure that what it is that we are getting into our heart, into our soul, directly from God to do. We talk about it. We come together. I think maybe this is what a prophetess is. Dean's going to be sharing a little bit more, but before we do, we're going to take a commercial break one more time, and we're probably going to have less songs today because this is a pretty deep topic, but we'll get back to the way we do the programming next week. But hold on a moment, and we'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
All right, Dean, why don't you go ahead and share?
Well, I'd like to start about just the fact that this is, just as I'm sitting here next to Maria and Magdalena, you know, our two girls, women here on Reboot, is I find it incredible that both Deborah and Jael, as we know in this story, is the very few times where actually two women completely take over. And it's a real refreshing part of the Bible that you have such a different take. And more importantly, as present-day Israel struggles with the strife that surrounds them, this is a great foretelling of what's going to happen even tomorrow. As crazy as it is in Judges 4, the ultimate degradation happens, and that is the Canaanite general will be sold by the Lord into a hand of a woman. That's what the scripture reads. Into the hand of a woman. So the ultimate to be degraded in those days, to actually be put in such a position where you're actually so low, well, that is what God had prepared for these enemies of Israel. So God actually puts this person, this enemy of Israel, in such a low, demeaning way that actually a woman serves up his revenge. It's really, really incredible and quite interesting.
Which is going to bring us into our next song. Why? Because I know that it's a different song to be playing on a church show. We have played it before, but it's so true if you listen to the words. Women, we are strong. We are really powerful, being sisters, mothers, and even lovers. So I want you to sit back and listen to one of my most favorite men ever. And that's Mr. Lenny Kravitz. So go ahead and just take a look and listen to Soul Sister Mama Lover.
profit.
People came to her for wise counsel. And here she was not afraid to go out into the battlefield. So she encompassed everything. And because she heard the people's cry, you know, for 20 years they were oppressed. She did something about it. God spoke to her. She went to Barak and she shared what God commanded. And, you know, she just took charge. She was not afraid. So Sister Mama Lover, it talks about someone who just encompasses everything. And it says, you take away my sorrow. And it was because she listened to God. And not only was she that, she was also a songwriter. She was, you know, I think
that's
of her
right.
as a Sheryl Crow of the day, that, you know, she had words that, you know, that she shared with others. And then I think of Jael, who, you know, had the courage and not be afraid. And she was very smart, if you think about it. Instead of giving this, you know, this army, what do you call it, commander some water, she was clever. She gave him warm milk. And what does milk do?
Warm milk.
It makes you sleepy. You know, I'm sure he was tired from battle. She gave him a little milk. Here, let me cover you up. Good boy, good boy. And, you know, it was really interesting. Back in the day, the women were in charge of pitching the tent.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have Boy Scouts back then. You know, they had the Sister Mama Love is taking care of the household, and that included, that was part of the role. And so when she took action to, you know, kill Sisera, she didn't unafraid. She did what she would, you know, she just said, you know,
she
another day at work.
Yeah, she did what she was called to do.
Yeah, and she was, you know, she was fierce and fearless. And, I mean, that's something that I wish to encompass and just be completely fearless. And something that Dean had shared about Deborah is that she had the heart to do it. She had the courage to you know, to do this and not be afraid, especially because she was a woman. And, you know, it's always been a man's world in that regard, but God gave the torch, if you will, to a woman.
And it was definitely much more of a man's world back in this day and age. And again, with that song, we've gone from talking to walking, talking to walking. And Rebecca, we are there. And Dean, what is it that you wanted to share? Go ahead.
I wanted to share a couple points on Deborah and her partner, Jael. And that is the fact that sometimes you have to do things that are almost impossible as a woman to a man. Like, ready? Actually driving a peg through somebody's temple. That's not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of courage. Especially when you know that the ramifications could be death. And that right there is extremely powerful. Also, you know, a few little tidbits about Deborah. Her name translates to bee. B-E-E, like a bumblebee. So imagine, you know,
a queen bee.
A queen bee, as you will. Even though it doesn't say queen bee, and I don't like to put things that is not there, but we know it translates as bee. So with that, we have a person that was a worker, and that's what we know about bees. You know, there's only, you know, of all the bees, you know, she was definitely a worker for God. So most likely the name translates correctly. Also with Deborah, she has a particular role in the Bible where not many of the judges that we know, be it Joshua, be it Eli, be it Samuel, they're not even mentioned as a judge. We kind of put them in perspective and we call them judge. Only a few times is it actually mentioned and given the title judge. Well, there you go. Barak is not mentioned as a judge. Joshua is not mentioned as a judge. Eli is not really mentioned as a judge. Samuel is not even mentioned as a judge. But here we have Deborah mentioned as a judge, which separates her from the rest of the men in the Bible. As we were talking about earlier, Maria, is we automatically know Joshua was a judge, even though the Bible doesn't really explicitly tell us that. But we don't know much about Deborah. I find that incredible that here she's named as a judge.
Yeah.
And that story gets a little bit lost, but everybody knows about Joshua, and really he's not named as a judge. There you go. That's the typical example. It's a man's world, and I agree.
It's, and that's unfortunate. Rebecca,
we're really going to take your heart and really start making major changes with it. And we've got about 5 more minutes of our show, and then Dean is going to start his new show. And I don't know if you're going to be able to stay with us. Will you be able to stay with him while he listens or while he does his first show?
Yes, absolutely.
And we've come up with a name for a future show too, Rebecca. Oh, we've got a couple future shows, but we're going to take Deborah, and we're going to make Deborah a part two. So next week on Reboot, we're going to be doing part two of Deborah. And again, this story, the more that I hear about her and the more that I learn about her, and I think we have a lot to take in when it comes to this soul, Rebecca. I think we have a lot to learn, especially right now, because I want Dean to share the little comment that he made before I ask you to close us out in prayer. And that is, the name of your foundation is the Hearts of Hope Foundation. And Dean just made a comment that I want him to share before we close out this part of the broadcast. And I love your heart, and I know that it's because it is completely filled with hope. And wherein there is hope, there are angels nearby. So hold on one moment as Dean shares.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Rebecca Lawler and all our sponsors. Without them, we couldn't be doing this. If there is anybody in the Bible, male and female included, prophets, prophetess, apostles, you name it, if anybody had a heart of hope, it was Deborah. And that's the correlation between, you know, the Rebecca Lawler Foundation and what we're talking about today, the Bible in general, my two co-hosts. Deborah had the ultimate heart of hope. She never wavered, and that's really rare. And that's what I kind of wanted to tell my sister, that if anybody in this whole book that had the heart of hope was Deborah. And I'm so excited to be doing this show, especially as we, you know, scratch a little bit more into Deborah, because she just was the warrior and the general figure that I like, military-wise. That really just, that gets me hope, because I don't look at it in a feminine way, as my sister and my co-host does. I look at it in a masculine way, and she gives me all the masculine things that I need to look as into a hero. So that's what I wanted to say.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah. Go ahead, and we're going to it says my microphone isn't detected. I hope you can hear me. We're going to go ahead and close us out in prayer. And then Dean is going to go ahead and start his new show called The Sinner's Sanctuary, and that'll start right after our ending song. So why don't you go ahead and close us out in prayer?
Well, thank you, Dean, for sharing that. That was very good. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for our time that we are able to be together. Thank you for this lesson that we learned of this amazing woman in the Bible named Deborah. As we have learned today, she was a warrior, a woman of strength, a woman of courage. She was filled with your wisdom. And we just thank you so much for her life story. May we, as we grow to know you more, may we all become like a Deborah. Thank you so much for your love that you have for us, for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross to save us for our sins. In your precious name, amen, and bless us all.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. to join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Sister Sunday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and we are introducing our new show. Rebecca Lawler is still with us, and I'm sorry that I cut you off. The button hit too quick, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, so we do have Rebecca as a guest, and I am going to introduce for the first time, and Magdalena is also still with us. So we are launching today Dean Milo's new show on Soul Sister Sunday called Sinner's Sanctuary. And here you go.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. I'd like to thank our sponsors again, Rebecca, and everybody else that gracefully contributes to this program. I'd like to thank my sister, Maria DiGiovanni, and Magdalena Gomez, for helping me out and being here with me. I'd like to start with the premise of the program. I'm calling it the Sinner Sanctuary, and I'm kind of in the tagline as we're a sanctuary for something that we all share, and that is from out of the womb, we're all sinners. And unfortunately, we're all powerless against it. And it doesn't matter where you come from or where you've been, is that humankind shares one common bond, and that's sin. And we want to make sure that it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what religious banner you want to put over your head. Does it matter if you came from a Catholic background, a born-again Christian background, a background from an Israeli background, a Jewish background, a Muslim background? We all share a common bond, is that we're powerless against sin from the womb. And it's not something, sin is not something that our parents taught us. As crazy as it is, we can try to blame our parents for it. But sin is something that actually is not taught. It's actually within you. And that's a lot of people don't like to accept that part of our walk. Well, unfortunately, is our most important part of our walk, because it's the actual problem that exists in our life, no matter who you are. Even a baby coming out of the womb, as difficult for us to actually comprehend that a baby would have a sinful nature. Well, unfortunately, the baby does. And that's what makes us as humans so incredible, is that we're born with this affliction. We need a savior. We need redemption. We need a counterbalance. And that's where the premise of this program lies. We're not here to, let me put it this way, Sinner Sanctuary is a place where the hypocrites can't deny you, and the sin patrol cannot find you. And if you put that in context, is you go to churches, you may have swam the seas of churches. You went to this church, all of a sudden you know more than the pastor. You go to that church, it's nothing but a fashion show. You go to this church, it's all about the food after the service. You go to that church, you don't like the fact that the pastor said something. We all come in judgmental. That's a part of this affliction. I want to leave all that at the door. And I want to explore the realism of our sinful nature and why we need a savior. And that's why I'm starting this program. And I want my sister to come in, and maybe Magdalena, and tell me what you think of my premise and where we're going to possibly go with it.
I think it's pretty intense listening to you speak, Dean. I know for a long time, and I'm honored and blessed to be able to be here to witness. You have a calling on your life. You have a calling to be a preacher, to speak the word. You going to turn that off? A calling for better timing. Okay. Rebecca, you've listened
yes.
to open up, and you met him when you were here a year ago, and now
yes.
he's birthing on this Labor Day weekend a dream that I know, and he will admit it or won't admit it, that God instilled in his heart a long time ago, since he's already started 3 churches, and so now him stepping into his big man panties, so to speak, is something I'm quite honored to be able to watch.
He can't be a Jonah. He can't run away anymore.
Yeah, he can't be a Jonah.
he got swallowed up in his
I'm what so excited. I mean, I think what he just said, I love the name of the show, and it's great that we're, I mean, you know, we all, like you said, we're all sinners, and we really are powerless over it. And I never really actually, I was listening to him, I didn't really know that, you know, like he said, sometimes we blame our parents for things that happen. I had no clue and realized that the sin was actually within us. So I'm getting fed, and I think that's amazing. Because I need that, as you know, we all need that as Christians, and I think that's why we're people, and I think that's why we both come together.
Well, I want to thank you, Rebecca, again, for allowing me to express myself, and for this short time. This particular program, I won't have any music, but possibly next weekend I'll have some music for you. So I kind of want to just dwell on what I call the problem that lies with people who are out there that don't quite know where to go. And I'm one of them. I came into the ministry probably around 16, 17 years ago. I'm sure, as most you know, that I was born and raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school as a child. We were raised in the church up until I was around maybe about 12 years old. And what happened is standard Christian hypocrisy came in and forced a situation which would have kept us in the church, took us away from the church. So an unfortunate set of circumstances happened within our life, in our family life, that led to the fact that we disassociated ourselves with the church. Now, if I hindsight was 20/20 and we can go back, would it have been better for me to continue my life in the church, the Catholic church at that time? The answer would have been, of course, yes, because even a little bit of scripture is better than no scripture at all. So I went, and as I grew older, I found myself searching and needing, and maybe one day I came to the realization that I probably, instead of having PowerPoints of the Bible that I knew nothing about, but I had good zingers and good catchphrases, and I relied on them. So one day I came to the realization, well, maybe I should finally take down this Bible that I was given many, 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 many years ago and start reading it. So So I started reading it, and through me reading the Bible, did I realize that I was so misled. And I don't mean misled in a really bad way. I don't want to say that. What I mean is that I didn't understand the truths that laid in the Bible, that the powers that be in my life didn't want me to learn. And as I grew in my faith and I understood that I needed a Savior, that I was powerless against sin, that my mother didn't teach me how to sin, that my father didn't teach me how to sin, that this actually came natural and I was good at it, I realized that, as with all life, it's balanced out on a scale. And as each sliver of metal tipped the scale against me, I knew that a works type of religion, a Catholic type of religion, any type of religion that was based on the works format, if I had to do a work, if I had to do something that would equate or balance out my sin, it just didn't make any sense to me. So as I grew in my faith and I understood that I needed a Savior, and it didn't matter, and I don't want anybody to be taken back, is I had been through altar calls. I had, quote-unquote, been born again. I had been through the standard supernatural or super spiritual aspect of a rebirth. But that really sometimes is not quite enough, because in actuality, that's just another work also. So I went from a works format and growing up that I had to go through the sacraments, and I had to take the Holy Communion, then I'd have to go through penance, and I had a work format style of balancing out my sin. Then I went into the born again Christian world, where I had to do an altar call, then I had to do a physical water baptism. Then I started scratching my head and I said, well, this is a works program too. Then I had to succumb to the sin patrol and the hypocrisy that lies within the Christian church, because they're looking at you like that as soon as you become born again, that you're not supposed to sin anymore. Or as soon as you become born again, that you now are equated in the eyes of the sin patrol, and they want you to conform. So I just felt myself struggling between this type of works type of salvation that I was raised in and my newfound born again feeling as a Christian, which at the end of the day, I was required to do works also. So I kind of just threw my hands up and said, what can I do? I don't want to work on a works program. I want to go by faith alone. And I want to go by grace alone. So I'm going to leave it up to my faith, and I'm going to leave it up through His grace. Can I do that? Can it be this easy? Well, as I scratched and I clawed through the Bible, I realized through the Apostle Paul that not only is it easy, and not only that it could be done, it could be the easiest turn in your life. And that's why we're here. We're here for a sinner's sanctuary, a place where you don't have to hide anymore. It's a refuge. It's like a cleft in a cliff, and the weather's bad. Rock of ages, cleft in thee. You find a place that gives you refuge from your enemies. It gives you refuge from the weather. It gives you refuge from the cold. That's why it's such a powerful hymn. That's what Sinner's Sanctuary is all about. And that's why I've been blessed enough to come and express myself and let people know that this show is about understanding that mankind has one and one thing only in common, is that from the womb, the moment you've been conceived, you're born a sinner. It's running through your blood. And you come out and you're powerless against it. And only one thing, and one thing only, could balance and turn the tables for you. And that's your faith, that you trust that Christ did his job on the cross for you. Now, I want to make something very clear here. And this is a monstrous point. My faith in Christ is not going to get through this. Why? Because if Peter's faith in Christ failed him every time and he knew Christ, it's my faith of Christ. I have faith in Christ that he did it for me. My faith in Christ will waver at a moment's notice. If I had my faith and I'm right there and Christ is right with me, and all of a sudden I'm put into a point where now there's a problem, I'm going to waver just as Peter did. I'm going to waver just as all the major biblical characters have wavered, because we're ready? Wavering is a part of our sinful nature. So my faith in Christ is not going to quite get me through it. But my faith of Christ will, because I have faith in Christ that he did the job for me. And because I have faith that he did it, will get me through. I will put my dirty coat on his back and he will drag me through. I will get on his shoulders and he will, like a big brother back in the old days, everybody likes to get on their big brother's shoulder. Well, that's kind of the way that I'm looking at it here in perspective. This is not about the works that I can do to grant salvation. This is about the works that he already did for me and my belief that he did them for me. And I want to leave that right now and give it to either Magdalena or my sister just to give my throat a rest. And again, I want to welcome you to the Sinner Sanctuary.
We're going to take a station identification. We'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca, we're back.
Yes.
On Soul Sister Sunday. What did you think of Dean and what he's had to say so far?
Oh my gosh, it's blessing my life. Thank you, Jean. Thank you, Dean. I mean, I just love what he said about, several things. I'm really getting fed, first of all, like by the faith and grace, faith that Christ did his job for me on the cross, and my faith in Christ. And I also love the fact that he shared with us wavering is part of our sinful nature, because we all know that. And I also wanted to say this, as he shared earlier about, when we do become Christians and you're like in a church and you've just accepted the Lord, that's kind of when you're really going to get attacked by Satan and, really get tempted. And I know that, when you're trying to do the will of the Lord and you're trying to make a difference is when you totally are under attack. And just to, hear him say that, is that's really part of our sinful nature. And to get on, to really get on Christ's shoulders, specifically at many of those times, and let him carry us is really the truth. So thank you. You are feeding me wonderfully this morning, and I really feel energized, and I feel like I really feel like God is really here with us right now. So thank you for being my teacher this morning and my pastor.
Well, thank you, Rebecca, for allowing me to do it again. I want to dwell on and just kind of touch on the aspect of spirituality within your soul and within your heart. As you just said, Rebecca, it's so true, is that when you come to the Lord for the first time, it's like a drug, okay? Well, just
right.
like any drugs,
right.
it's just like any drugs in the world. It's usually the high won't get you. It's the come down. So when you become a spiritual Christian and you become a person that now has expressed your faith publicly and you've become quote unquote born again, and you go through the politics of being born again and through a new church, it can sometimes, as with anything in life, drugs, alcohol, sex, religion can be a drug, and you get high off it, and it brings you up like that roller coaster, you know. But the pitfalls are where you need to have your armor, and where you have to understand what your strengths and weaknesses are. It's
right,
when you
right.
get to the pinnacle, and all of a sudden, you know, there was nothing like, I'll give you an example for myself. I don't think that there's any greater calling than to go out and have a public altar call in a public setting, and the high of that altar call and the high of you, of that spiritual moment in your life. There's no question that is extremely powerful. But sometimes as you get more discerning and you become more of a mature Christian and a mature Bible reader and a mature person in the Word, sometimes you realize that some churches are about altar call numbers and how you can pull heartstrings and pull emotions to people that are possibly weak just to feed a number that you get to meet your altar call quota. Thank you. Thank you, Magdalena. And I, as I grew in my spiritual walk, I didn't like that about the church. I didn't like the fact that I was hearing the same heartstring pulling pastoral message that I noticed around me that was getting the same type of people to go up to the altar call. And I found that disturbing. I just as I, when I was as later in my life, I went to the Catholic Church and I saw so much bowing your knee to idols. I didn't like the fact that you had to bow your knee to an idol. And I didn't like the fact that the pastor, the born-again pastor, was pulling heartstrings to get altar calls. So I had to come to the realization of, what was I looking for? How was I going to fit in into this scheme of Christianity? And how was I going to find something that was going to balance my needs out, my spiritual needs, my biblical needs, my masculine needs, my tiny bit of feminine needs, all the things that God has blessed me in, and He knows that I need. But how was I going to equate it? Because I just couldn't, as crazy as it is, I couldn't turn on the super spiritual switch that I saw my fellow born-again Christians had within their brain. And I'm going to give you an example. I find it hard for me to go get up in the morning. On the way into church, I could be listening to the Beatles, Breakfast with the Beatles. I could be listening to the preview of the morning's football games. I could be listening to AC/DC or Black Sabbath. And the fact of the matter is, I had a problem with going into church and all of a sudden turning on a super spiritual switch, taking a wonder drug, and all of a sudden I'm in the zone, my eyes are closed, my hands are up, and I'm taking in super spiritual power that the pastor's saying. I just didn't get it, and I still don't. I couldn't relate. And that's where it made me. And I'm not saying that this is bad, ladies and gentlemen. And I understand if people out there can turn on that super spiritual switch, and I wouldn't deny what you're learning or what you're feeling. It's just not for me. I didn't understand and still don't. And I can't get into the frame where all of a sudden I can be normal Dean Milo and all of a sudden at the pastor's moment's notice in his word, he gives me the word, and I have to turn it into a super spiritual person that's receiving a digital dish reception feed from God. And I had to go through this. I did notice, and this is where the hypocrisy lied, that my neighbors were watching me not understand it. My neighbors next to me, I call them the Sin Patrol and the hypocrites, they were watching me not be super spiritual, which led me to believe that they didn't think I was on their level. I would see them open their eye and see me and give me kind of a little weird look that I wasn't into a super spiritual buzz format that allowed me to understand the pastoral message or the prayer as they were. That's why we're here for Sinner Sanctuary. That's why we're here to open the door for people that don't understand. That's why I'm here to let people know that you're not alone. The sanctuary is open, and we're all together on this. I want to bring it back to my sister Maria, and I want to thank you, everybody, for allowing me to share Sinner Sanctuary with you. Sinner Sanctuary is a place where the hypocrites cannot find you, and the Sin Patrol cannot deny you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Soul Sister Radio, and we will see you next week on Soul Sister Sunday.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.